Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Phenomenal, Alan. I've got trackies on. I actually got like a bit of a sweater on. I'm a bit cozy up in the studio. Got a nice glass of whiskey. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, it's sad. Sad that it's trackie weather. I'm very disappointed in that. I also have the trackies on and a sweater on and maybe something a little spicy as well that we might get to in a minute.
Look out.
Hey. Before we get too far into it, I just want to let everyone know that we are now available on Apple Podcasts.
Look out.
Took me about 2 seconds to do. It's not difficult. It took 104 episodes, but we can put it on any one. So if anyone else wants to listen to it on another platform, just let me know and we'll do that.
I definitely think we're going to have Taryn hit us up and say YouTube Music.
Yeah, okay, cool.
He'll correct me.
Yeah, but I remember him asking about something a while ago and I told him I couldn't be bothered. but I'll do. We can be bothered now. So might do, I can do that as well. It's it takes nothing. So we'll do that. But right now we're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And next week we'll probably be on 3 or 4 more. So why not? But how's your week been, Chris?
This is big. We might have on each of those platforms... If we might have 3 or 4 listeners on each of those platforms.
Could do.
That's huge.
Could do. Very exciting.
My week's been busy. Week's been good. I got a nice surprise last night, actually. A mate of mine dropped around. Hadn't seen him in a few months. We've both been flat out, but he swung around last night, conscious that he hadn't seen me for my birthday, with a nice bottle of Lark Single Malt Classic Cast. So I had a couple of nips with a mate last night. And that's what I'm obviously sitting on right now.
Lovely.
So that was a nice little surprise last night. Otherwise, obviously wrapped up Vic Open and straight into a massive week of work. What about you?
Yeah, same. Just wrap up Vic Open and then straight into work. And feels like I've been at work for 7 days already. So
yeah,
not ideal, but only a couple more to go. We'll get through it. Looking forward to this weekend. I'll be popping in for the Masters for a little bit, so we'll touch on that a bit later. But always a good week post Vic Open, and I didn't even shit the bet, so that was nice. But
congratulations!
Thank you. we'll get to that. The first thing I want to get to though is the shirts. So Chris, you put out a little teaser of just some of my beautiful fine camera work that just apparently my phone you can do some stuff on, so I'm basically a graphic designer.
Graphic designer, yep.
Basically a graphic designer. Yep. The shirts came in. We got a sample shirt of our green and our purple, one in the short and one in the long sleeve and with polo, and they're nice. I know you haven't seen him yet. But I like them. I'm a big fan. I think they're really good, and I can't wait to get at least one in every color. So I'm very excited.
I chucked the teaser up on socials. Obviously, people would have noticed the green one that we've got delivered is just crew cut neckline, and the purple one is long sleeve but done polo with the collar. And the results are in. I mean, there are about half an hour left of voting. But it was tight. We are looking at 52% crew cut and 48% polo.
I didn't even see who put a poll up. Oh, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, so good
we're
news.
We're going to be selling a bit of both.
Yeah. Well, good news for you guys is it's fully customizable. So when Chris will have an order form thing, we might just hold on to it for a few days. So when people listen, they can reach out to either you or I and get the sizing charts and the order forms and all that sort of stuff. And then maybe after a few days, we'll put it out there to the wider public and get some of the people that don't listen quite as often.
Why might we do that? Because how are we going to do the numbering system? Is it going to be first in, best served?
I think so. Yeah, first in, best served sounds good. Might have already earmarked a low number for a good friend who has... guest host the show before, which I think is only fair. But yes, other than definitely. That...
And now features heavily on our intro.
Exactly. Chris and I will both have the number one. There will be no two, and then we'll go from three. So yes. I think it'll be good. And yeah, just first in, best dressed. And then anytime if we ever do orders in the future, if you just get your number again, and it'll be good. But you know, yeah, you just... Oh, sorry.
No, you know what we will do, though, in the future?
Yeah.
There absolutely will be a two, but the only way to get your hands on it will be to win the Throwlers 2.0.
That's a good idea. I like that.
That is a great idea. That's cool.
But yeah, so it's fully customizable. So you can get green or purple or black in crew neck or polo, in long sleeve or short sleeve, and any combination of any of it that you can think of. And even with the black polos, you can get a green or a purple or a black collar. So we'll have all the images and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, just reach out. We'll send you all the gear. And if anyone's interested, let us know. If not, that's fine as well. But we're going to buy a bunch of shirts for ourselves. And if anyone else wants some, then they'll be $40.
$40?
Not too bad, eh?
I thought you were going to say 100, 80,
that's it.
75. We're going to let these go for $40.
Exactly.
All right. So best be buying multiples, people. Buying multiples.
Yeah, exactly. No, I can't wait. Hopefully everyone puts in their orders quick so that we can get a new batch and I can have even more. So, I'm quite excited. So big shout out to Alex Brindle for helping us out with the design, doing all that work for us. They're fantastic. And I'm very excited.
He actually found us on socials. I went looking for the man on socials, Alex Brindle. I couldn't find him. He's got a pretty incognito name. but he found us. And I've since been able to tag him in the post that I put out there. Huge shout out. He's done a great job. I think everyone's going to like him.
Yeah, for sure. I've had something come across my desk, and it's from the Instagram, I think, of the Disc Golf Pro Tour. So it was obviously sent to me because I don't follow anyone. But it was like a bucket list of out-of-the-way
courses.
And Crater Lakes Disc Golf Course made the list. So how cool is that?
So cool. I'm gathering by the way that you're presenting this, you didn't see the way that I put it out on socials.
No.
Via Throwlers page.
Shit, my bad.
So I threw it out there. Obviously, as soon as I saw it, I just woke up one morning and like Crater Lakes was in my face, shared by Disc Golf Pro Tour. But what I threw out to the masses was typo, should have been Stony Creek.
Nice, that's good. I like that. But yeah, cool bit of recognition there from the Pro Tour. It was a bit weird. There was a couple of like wacky courses on there as well, so I wasn't sure exactly the vibe of their list. But good that we got to mention.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do we got here? Oh, I got Ash might bust my ass is what I've got written on the
This has to do with basketball.
Yeah. So yeah. I was having a good chat with our friend Ash Brookers at the Players Dinner in Bendigo on Saturday night, and he was talking about how we should definitely make something happen. He sounded pretty confident. I'm still not too worried. And I'm asking him about, like, you know, does he play? And he's like, oh, not anymore. Da, da, da. I said, oh, did you? And he did. And he was definitely a lot better than me when I was good. So when I was good and when he was good, he was definitely a lot better than me. But I'm talking about now.
That time's past.
Exactly. But there is definitely a more than 0% chance that Ash might bust my ass. So yeah. I still back myself in, but it's, yeah, I was at 0% chance, and it's definitely more than zero. So we'll have to make that happen. It was meant to happen this weekend at Masters, but that will not be able to happen anymore. But that'll probably feature at the end of the podcast, I think.
All right. Timmy B wants a piece as well. How do you think you'd stack up against Timmy B?
Sure. I'll smoke Timmy B. I'm not worried about Timmy B. He says something to you, I'll kill him. He's got nothing. Yeah. He's just a domestic baller, like peak level. Come on. No way. I'll take Timmy. Anytime, anywhere, mate.
Beautiful.
Ash has a more than 0% chance. Timmy has 0% chance.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. All right, should we have a look at the Vic Open?
We certainly should. Sick. Let's do it.
Before we start looking at any of the scores and stuff, what did you think of the tourney?
Yep, beautiful. I obviously drove up from Dalesford each day, so I didn't partake in any of the other festivities. Got there pretty early each day and obviously chilled by hole 17 and watched a few cards come through. But otherwise, I just played golf. It was simple. It was clean. There was a, you know, obviously David Heath was at T1. That seemed pretty well organized. There was no real flow challenges. Day one, we were a little slow. Day one, we had a card of five in front of us, not far in front of us. But that card of five only existed on day one, so it got a lot better on day two and day three. Obviously, we had some mixed weather, but it didn't get too wet on day one. It's just a bit moist. And yeah, I thought it went really, really well. Didn't hang around for the post-match festivities either, so I'm probably not the best person to ask. but from a playing perspective, and that's surely got to be the main perspective, it was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I loved it as well. I thought it was great. The course was really well set up and looking nice. I really enjoyed playing it. And yeah, everything ran really smoothly. The guys did a fantastic job. I was pretty happy. Yeah, and I was same as you. I went straight to hole 17 every morning just to watch Chumps miss the island, and that was really enjoyable. I love doing that. That's fun. It's not quite Mad Gambier intersection of like 2, 9, and 15, but that's it's hard to top that. That's king chump watching. So.
That is hard to top.
But 17 was nice. So, I really liked that. That was cool. And, I went to the post, the festivities on the Friday and the Saturday night, and it was fine. It was a bit light on for mine, but it's mine normally like a bit louder than others. But, it was good. It was a good time. I found myself home in bed pretty early, by 10 o'clock both nights, which was odd for me.
I wonder if there's a correlation between that and not shitting the bed.
So I can't imagine. I don't know how they would be linked in any way. But no, it was good.
Just checking.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was good. I very much enjoyed it. So that was good. We had only one person in the FJ15 girls. That was Charlotte Davies. But she got through all three of the rounds, which was really nice to see, and had a very good final round. So her third round absolutely crushed her other two and got better each time. So that's really good to see. Hopefully we'll see more of Charlotte out there.
Managed a par on hole 8 throughout the weekend and also a par on 12. Good work.
Very nice.
Par on 8 is great.
That is great.
Yeah.
In the MJ15, it was a battle between Owen Maisie and Marcus Davies. And, Marcus Davies is just too good. The kid's a freak. So, smoke show there. And went the opposite way to assist a little worse edge day. Yeah. Really good first round. That first round was crazy. 63 ended up being plus 3, right?
Plus 2 in his field.
Yeah, exactly. Fantastic. And taking the 4 on hole 3 is huge. It's crazy that he can even throw that far. So, really, really good round there. Did all the work he needed to do. And, just dropped off a little bit each time. But nothing, nothing too crazy.
Mm-hmm.
In the FA4, Michaela Cooper and Megan Joy had a crack. And Megan came out on top with, pretty nice lead. So, good rounds for her as well. I'm looking at 3 rounds above rating very comfortably. So great event there for Megan.
Right on, Megan.
MA4, big field. What happened there?
We called it. We called this.
We called it.
I'm pretty sure we said that obviously Josh Quinn tanked it at Socials Days and he would come out flying.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he just was keeping it in the tank and came out flying. Got to say g'day to the fella. Haven't really formally met him, but he was up and about after his win, as he should have been. Obviously, also pretty familiar with the gym. I don't know if you noticed.
Mm-hmm.
He's been to a gym or two, Josh Quinn.
Yeah, out there making Chew look small, which was nice.
Yeah. And held off Chris Salter Jason Vincent and Ash B. It was tense down the last couple of holes. We both happened to be there. Ash blames you.
Yeah.
I don't know if he let you know.
But you know, he did.
Blames you for him not being able to pull it home. And obviously, you called him out for a plus three on UDIS you called him out for, Ash B?
Yep.
And what did you shoot round two?
Plus six? No, the wrong plus, person. Plus four. Oh, yeah, plus three on his. Still a plus four.
Still a plus four. True. I hadn't done that. Bad luck, Ash.
No, he did good. I gave a little bit too much shit for that, I guess, because he showed he could almost do it.
He could almost do it, correct.
But it was funny. I went and watched. I caught up with him on hole 16 because the lead card of MA4 final day is always bananas, and that's enjoyable. So I saw him. I rolled up and I saw that they were sort of hanging on hole 14. I was like, oh, wait a second, I'll go meet him at 16 because I couldn't be bothered walking to 15 just to watch them all get nowhere near the green and take pars. And I think a few of them took some numbers on 15, and then all of a sudden it was like one stroke between the whole lead card. And Ash threw a beautiful shot. He put it to like 13, 14 meters with his forehand. And the others chumped it up pretty good, which was great. But then all through half decent upshots, and Ash for some reason decided to run it from 14. I guess like he'd been hitting them from 14 all day, maybe, I don't know. And then put it long, missed that. The others all hit theirs, and it all went sad from there for Ash. So, not so good. Ross Davis as well with the big choke. It was pretty funny. He was right there, and then ends up losing it on. Oh, did he miss 17? I can't remember, but definitely threw it out of bounds on 18.
Doubled 15, bogeyed 16, bogeyed 17, doubled triple 18.
Yeah, it was rough. Yeah. It was rough. And, Chris and Josh were the last man standing. I think Josh took the most pars down the stretch and somehow went from shooting like a plus 12 at Olinda in one round to shooting a plus 15 in the Vic Open over three. So...
Yeah,
that's MA4 for you, baby. But huge, takes it by one stroke over Chris Salter, and Jason Vincent from Chase Guard gets up to equal our man Ash B there in third. So really good to see. That was cool. That was a fun watch. I kept my eye on that. Pretty closely. That was good.
Yeah, just great to kind of interact with a few other Victorians that are on the scene and. We're obviously hearing that we're giving them shit on the podcast, and hopefully they're listening as we speak.
Yeah, I think didn't you say that they might have been talking about us talking about them while you were 5 meters from them, and they had no idea that you might be the 100%. Other guy on the mic?
Yeah.
That's good. I like it.
Yeah, it was. It was good. It was good.
I think it's weird that anyone knows us at all, so I think it's great. It's very, like... It's awesome when there's lots of people that have absolutely no idea the shit that we dribble on a Wednesday. I'm like, good.
Yeah. They're like, apparently they were gambling on me. I'm not sure why they were gambling on me. Like, I didn't even know how I was going to play.
We didn't.
What is this?
Oh, that was good. MA3 big field. Oh, yeah. Sorry, missed Anna. Sorry.
Yeah, Anna Collardina drove over from SA and took that out. She had a crazy day. She, like, knocked off work on... the Thursday, drove to Border Town, and then got up at like 2 a.m. On the Friday to like make her round on round one. So good. Yikes. Commitment there by Anna. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well done. Thick field in MA2, 22 players, and a lot of familiar names everywhere for sure. But some very familiar names down the bottom, which is sad. We don't like seeing that. But we'll focus on the top. For a sec, Nicholas Marks takes it out by four strokes. And I think, is this, I can't remember if this was the guy. Nah, that's MA2. Nick was from Interstate, I think, then, right?
Yes, from SA. Doesn't have many disc golfers around him. Didn't know if he was good or not. Second ever event. Probably good enough for MA1.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Because, he spanked Chu and Chu spanked everyone else. Neg 8 for Nicholas Marks, neg 4 for Chu, which was fantastic golf. I think he did A lot of that work on day two and three, shooting under par, both of them. But then, seven strokes later was Finley Atkinson in third. So just heavy, heavy lifting in the MA3 field done by Nick and Chu there. So well done, guys. And then I'm just checking. No, the right division. Speaking of the plus three that I was giving Ashby for, I was very confident that Damien Moosey was not going to shoot an even. And after round one, I had a look. You know, that's all. I'm a man of my word. I said I'd give him a shirt if he does. So I'm having a look. Shoots a pretty comfortable plus eight. I wasn't too worried about that. And then I'm having a look on day two, and I'm a little worried. Started getting real nervous. Damo was playing really well. And I'm sitting at hole 17 waiting for him to arrive. I'm letting everyone around there know that I really need him to miss the island here, because otherwise I'm going to have to buy him a shirt. I guess he hadn't listened to the pod, so he didn't know what was going on. And he was even through 16 holes, and he put it to about 5 meters on hole 17. I'm like, all right, well, there goes that. But luckily his MA3 instincts kicked in, and he missed that. He hit the cage. And proceeded to throw it all the way on the right side of the fairway the whole time on hole 18 to take a bogey and get himself out of the plus one. So good news for me, but sorry about that for Damien. He found out after that I was secretly rooting against him, and he wasn't too happy. So he came up and gave me a bit of a shove.
Yeah.
And then another comfortable miss on round three. So that was good to see.
Yeah. So my takeaway from this is that indeed the U-Disc, we should push it.
Yeah.
He's not capable of it. Yeah.
Exactly. We're just ticking them off. Ticking them off. In FA2, tight battle there between Kim Michelle and Bridget Alberston. So Kim takes it out with a lot of work done in the final round. I think they were tied going into round two, and she gets it by four strokes in round three with a really nice plus eight. Well, plus seven for them.
Plus
so,
seven.
Yep. Really good final day there for Kim. So big, big win there, Kim.
Ring a ding ding. Yeah, huge. MA2, we had another battle, and it was tight coming down the stretch here as well. And I believe that actually Matt Harris had the lead going into the last couple of holes.
Big.
And misses the island on 17, takes the bogey, two-shot swing, and gives Jack Smith the lead by one. And then Matt goes and bogeys 18 as well. So Jack ends up walking away with a two-stroke victory over Matt Harris and Jeff Halpern, who made the trip over from Canada, which is nice to see.
Oh, that's sick.
I don't think so, but he's running the Daz method of the Canadian flag sitting there. Mitch Evers also, best not miss him, also another podium there for Mitch Evers in T3.
Yeah, huge round two for Mitch, surging right back up the leaderboard, and then did enough to hold on there, so that was really cool. Jack Smith, I think, is a local. They've just been playing a bit there. So I heard this news way too late, otherwise he might have found his way onto the tipping comp, or he might have been on the tipping comp and no one picked him. I'm not sure, but yeah, I think he's a local, and turns out he can sling. So neg five, very good going.
PDGA has him from Queensland.
Oh, okay, well, never mind. Is that who's the local then?
And sponsored by Team DC.
Oh, well, that's not it. I don't know what I'm talking about. Matt Hill was letting me know that there was some local that was killing it. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, cool. Thanks, mate. Guess what's wrong. Big, big letdown, Tommy Janker. So we had him easily taking this out. And right in the mix after round one, I think maybe in the lead after round two, if not right there. And absolutely shit the bed in round three. Plus seven final round. He was neg two and then takes a plus seven. My man, what are you doing?
No, what we're after.
I tipped him. I had him in the tipping, so that hurt me pretty bad. Thanks, mate.
Yep. Me too.
Exactly. Tanya Behan in FA50. So having a crack there on her own. Not too many others kicking around in that division. But what did we get? 722. She played a little above rating. So nice work there, Tan. And we'll be on the feature card. So we'll have to check that out when it comes out for Parks Media.
Yes.
In the MA50, it was a smoke show early. So Carey and Josh Conroy just putting the hurt on most of the division. Eamesy hanging in there after round, he was there round one and two. So never mind. It was a bit of a three-horse race. And it came down to a playoff on hole four, which Carey Edwards won over Joshua Conroy. So both neg three events for those boys. Very good shooting. But yeah, Carey takes it out. And Eamesy holds into third. And Cranny came from absolutely nowhere. So shocking round one. Gets a Throwler's Mini off of me. And then bang. Round two and three, elite. So if you had got that Throwler's Mini before round one, we might be having a different conversation here.
I'm also noticing that Josh Conroy bogeyed the 18th to tied up.
Oofed.
He goes into the 18th with a one-shot lead, bogeys the 18th to create the playoff.
That's tough. That's tough. That we don't like tough. Seeing that. Don't like seeing that at all. I'm a bit surprised that Nick Hall, I thought he would be doing a bit more damage. So it's weird to see him that far off the pace. But yeah, other than that, not too bad.
FA 40, Carol Hartley gets it done. Shooting a plus 52 overall. MA 40, my future division potentially. Jay Ross. Putting some work in. So really consistent event. Taron got out of the box early with a minus three, which was hot, 950 for the field, four-shot lead. But he could not keep it going. Shot a plus two the very next round. Jay Ross found himself in the lead after two rounds. And then he was able to hold off Taron and build that to a three-shot victory. Daniel Marks taking out the rest of the podium. But the only one to finish under the card would have been, obviously, in the pro field, finishing dead even for the event. So that's hot.
Very good going there, bud, Jay. Was big and had a broken hand. Played with a broken hand. So nice. He's pulled out of the Masters now with a broken hand. And he came up and showed me his bruised up hand day one. And it actually cleared up a bit in day two. He squished it in something or smacked it in something. I can't remember the story now. But, it didn't look great. but I guess after day two when it was cleared up and he shot a neg five, I was like, oh, not bad then. Like, must not be that bad. But, yeah, apparently he won't be playing Masters because of a broken hand. So I can't imagine he smacked it again. You know what I mean? I think he might have played with a broken hand. So that's big. Very big.
That is big.
In the FA1, I can never tip this. Every time I tip it one way, it goes the other way. So very annoyed at that. But Georgia Carroll smoked it. And, took home a, what do we got there? 8 stroke. Jeez, I'm good at math. 8 stroke victory over Anita Weber. So a lot of work done in round one and just hold them off the rest of the way. So very nice done there for Georgia, who is, a handful of months pregnant at the moment. So,
okay, there you go.
Big time. But awesome. Winning the Vic Open in her hometown. So very nice there, Georgia.
Yeah.
MA1, my division, was big. Very, very big. Day one, not too much happening. A few people, 3 and 4 under. And then day two, Chris Scott says, you know, there's so many birdies out here, boys. Shoots a neg 7, which is one more than we thought the MA1 hot score would be. And on day three, shoots another neg 3 just to absolutely solidify it. Big. Takes it out by 4 strokes over Liam Brundelli-Brondex. And another couple back there is Michael Gleese over from Adelaide. I told you to watch out for Gleese. He's sneaky.
Definitely. What I love most about Chris Scott's win is the to and fro we had about what it would take to win MA1.
Yeah.
And we landed on neg 12 would be enough. And neg 12 would have been more than enough. Neg 10 would have got you a W.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Neg 13 definitely got it done.
Yeah. Nah, huge performance by Chris. That just, yeah, that neg 7 just really separated him for everyone. And it was a catch me if you can situation. People kept asking me, what's his mental game like? Will he crack? And I was like, nah, not Chris. He'll be fine. So I think he shot still the hot round in MA1 in round 3. So hard to catch a man when he's shooting the best at everyone, even in round 3. So very well done. That's sick. Good field. 16 players, like some strong ones in there, at least 8 very good ones. So that's a big win. So that'd be Chris Scott's first Vic Open win, I imagine. And potentially first major, so very big. Really like that.
You know I love a good gold round, brown round.
Yes.
Chris Scott has 3 birdies on his brown round.
Big.
That is huge.
Big. So that means there's 3 holes that he birded every single time. Which ones did he get?
He got 12 every single time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
little the downhill.
Little downhill
buzz for me.
Mini Invalid hole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the one after.
Oh, hole, yeah, surely. Sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Or is it the Invalid hole?
It is the Invalid hole.
It is the Invalid hole.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking of 11 for a sec. Yep.
Got 12 every time. He got 14, that mm-hmm. par 4 that comes mm-hmm. up straight after that, and he got 17.
Nice. Very good. Yep. Got me beat. I got 12 every time as well, and 17. So not the Invalid one, bit sad.
Mm.
I was pretty happy with my event. I ended up in 7th, which is fine. I played good. I had 8 practice rounds. No, 6 practice rounds. And I shot under par once. And in my 3 rounds, I went under par every single time. So pretty happy about that. Some silly mistakes here and there. I only birdied 5 holes total. Because a couple of them I got a couple times. So yeah, it wasn't exactly setting the world on fire when, but I was really, only had a chance of sort of birdieing half of the holes anyway. So I got about, on average, I got about a third of the ones that I could birdie. So not too bad. And, putting was good. I told you that I'd actually dusted off the old Timu basket and did a bit of putting practice. And it's crazy. Like this will sound shocking to most people, but if you do have a basket and then do a bunch of putting practice, like I was putting 100 makes in, I think for the 3 or 4 days leading up to the event, you'll putt better. Like it's radical. You'll putt better. You will. No. I think I missed 1 inside C1 day 1, and it was a straddle. I missed 1 in each of day 1 and 2. One of them was like a straddle from 9 meters, and one of them was uphill putt from just inside circle. And then on day 3, I think I missed 2, which was annoying. Because after I missed the first one, I was like, oh, well, I guess I'll never miss another one all day, which is great. But I didn't miss any par putts, which was nice, or par putts inside the circle at least, so... it was good. I like that. I'll have to keep that up. But huge event for Chris. Even I had a look. Even if I didn't get any bogeys, I still would have lost to him. So it wasn't much I could do about the situation. But Kalen's final round is a funny one to have a look at. Anyone who wants to get up the whole scores, check that out. That's pretty good. That was trash. He got 7 birdies on the back 9 just to finish the same 1 under that I did. And I birdied 5 different holes for the weekend. He got 7 on the back 9. When I told him that little stat, he wasn't too stoked.
No.
But yeah, that was pretty funny. But yeah, huge work to Chris Scott. Big win. Neg 13 is doing plenty. Puts him in the mix in the MPO, and would have smashed the MP40, which he is eligible to play. Speaking of which, so how'd they go?
Well, before we jump there, there were 16 in the field. I needed Camille to do eighth or better. So you found yourself there in seventh. Did Camille find himself in sixth, fifth? Where did Camille find himself? He obviously, you talked about, you know, only going under the card once in preparation. Camille went under the card every single time. I'm pretty sure he was good for. He had to beat you. He's good for a better than a neg four anyway.
Well, he started round one with a plus three. Went a couple under in round two and then an even for round three, which gives him a grand sum of plus one, and you needed a neg three to get into the top eight. So that means that he falls into the bottom eight, which Alan gets his throwler's guarantee. Six big points coming my way. 31 plus six makes 37. Let's go.
Bang. Well done.
Yeah, all that right. Was good. I was a bit sketchy on that. I thought he was going to do well, and I didn't think I'd find myself in the top eight. So, and I definitely didn't have Benny O'Byrne finishing outside the top eight either. So,
I did.
That would have been a good throw. I would have given you a bit for that.
MP40, ring ding ding. You would expect Ruben to make light work of this up against that field. Let's be honest, but Tim Ware came to play. On a tear, Ware came to play. Round one, Rubes goes minus five, 980 round, putting a four-shot buffer between him and Tim. Tim backs it up round two with his own minus five, only good enough to claw one back, but it was still good enough to claw one back. And then Tim... Rubes had himself two over early round three, and at one stage, Rubes was two over and Tim was one under. And so he made up three strokes there at one stage, but Ruben pulled away in the end and got a three-stroke victory with a 949 event, so below rating event for Ruben, but still a W. Tim playing 20 points above rating for his second place, Chris Hart taking out third.
Yeah. Huge event there for Timmy Ware, made it very interesting, which was cool, and would have finished there in equal fourth with Penn and Kalen in MA1. So, yeah, very, very nice event, but hard to beat Rubes.
Mm-hmm.
In the FPO, it was Harsey and then Daylight and then Haley. So, good on Haley for jumping in and playing FPO with Huss. Good to have that little competition out there. Otherwise, Haas probably would have just jumped into MA40 as she so often does. But yeah, Haas is just, she's good. She's very good at disc golf. So big win there. Gets her name. Back-to-back wins on the FPO for the Vic Open. Holding the big Vic State trophy.
Yeah, well done, Haas. Haley nearly matched you on the unique birdie front. Got birdies on four holes across the weekend. So done well there, all of which she did in round three. Four birdies round three. So that was a good round. I did get better each round. Round three was considerably above her rating. So well done, Haley, on round three. But Huss obviously expected to take the chocolates there and indeed takes them.
Finishing with an even on round three as well. Elite work there. So great job, Huss.
Yeah, minus one on her card, but yeah, even on if it was obviously not the par five.
Oh, okay, yeah, my bad.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Even better.
Even better. Pardon the pun.
And then the big dogs. What happened on the big dogs field?
So, yeah, away we went. Obviously, a lot of Victorians plus Clay 8 Beckon coming down to play and finish the event, which was nice to see. but Ryan Deer jumped out of the blocks early with a 10-16 minus 9, which was real tidy, bogey-free, closely followed by Patty Robinson with a neg 7 with the one bogey on there, and then just absolute bottleneck for the rest of the field. So then you had Ryan Michelle scraped a minus 4. Then you had myself, Dill Feldman, Clayton Beck, and Blake Nichols with a minus 3. And then Aidan Howard, a minus 1. Timmy B, even. Ryan Hart, plus 1. And Nathan Parrish, back where he rightfully belongs, at the bottom there with a plus three, but an absolute bottleneck. Like going into round two, genuinely, I was saying to people on my card, like, people from third card will be on lead card, like going into day three. Like it's just so tight between card two and card three. And yeah, it pretty much shook out that way because round two, Nathan Parrish went ham and shot a neg 10, which was, only came in at 1,008 rated because a lot of birdies were out there. Paddy Robinson managed to tie it up with Ryan Deer with a neg 8. And so all eyes were on those two looking to take it out round three. And congratulations, Ryan Deer. I'm sure we've all heard the news by now, but if you haven't, Ryan Deer shoots a minus six, takes a two-stroke victory. Ryan Hart, should have shot a minus 20. Ryan Hart went wild day three and shot a minus 11. Let's see if he took his stats. I'm sure he did. Oh, he didn't take his stats.
No way. He took his stats on his trash day, but not his good day.
Yeah. Killing me. He missed some C1 putts, I'll tell you right now. But worst of all, you've hopefully, it's had 1,000 views. So hopefully everyone who's listening has seen the video that I put up with what he did on hole 7.
It's crazy.
But if you have a close look at his score on hole 7 for round 3, what you will see is a par.
No way. How? Yeah.
Because, so for those who haven't seen it, he goes 50 meters long. Mate, let's call it 40. He goes 40 meters long off the tee with an outrageous roller and finds himself next to 9's basket. Takes like a pig type disc just to like pitch up a hyzer. He's got nothing in his way. Just needs to pitch up a hyzer to the green. Puts it to like 7 meters and misses the putt.
Ryan.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so gross.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. He took a bogey in there somewhere too, right?
Yeah, bogeyed 14, which
Jesus.
exactly. The short par 4 puts a roller again just off the green, but has a shot and gets to circle 2, gets to 12 meters. And sends that putt to 11 meters and then misses that putt and takes a bogey.
Yikes. Could have been something real, real special.
Yeah. He was in the hunt. He was absolutely in the hunt for the win. Because Ryan was it absolutely cooled off. He was on, just pars in a row and Ryan was birdieing out. And so Ryan was looking for a W. Ryan Hart wanted a W. He was like, I could take this down. Bogeyed 14. And, that was it.
So, neg 18 finish with a plus one round one. So, just gross stuff. Just only stuff Ryan Hart can do, I think. Mm-hmm. You found yourself on feature card for round two, as you predicted.
As we said. That was fun. That was fun. And I didn't embarrass myself, I don't think. I'm also play good. You said you're happy. Yeah, you were happy with your event. I was happy with my event. So I also managed a bunch of warm-up rounds. The best I managed in any warm-up round was a minus 3. The worst I managed at the tournament was a minus 3. So pretty happy with that. I birdied 9 holes overall. I had a brown round of plus 1. Compared that quickly to the entire MPO field. No one matched me on the brown round front. Highlighting how obviously steady and consistent I played. So I quickly chucked up on socials that I am the brown round champion of the Vic Open. And we love it. But Chris Scott quickly pointed out that he also managed a plus one brown round for the event with his 3 birdies. So congratulations to the 2 Chris's for being the steadiest golfers of the weekend.
Lovely. Big shout out Ryan Deer, huge, huge performance, and now one time Vic Open MPO champion, so sick. Love that for Deeros.
Yeah, the buck is back.
The buck is back. So there was a bit of chatter after watching you, who ended up 8th in MPO, but with a stellar performance, would have won MP40, by 2 strokes. Would have been second place in MA1. And where you're talking about playing in MA40, would have won by 8. No, more. Because they
11.
It would have won by 11. And there was a bit of chatter that maybe you should fuck off. And and then some rules we've been pointing out. I thought it was just 970 rated. You had to be above if you were an MPO person who was taking cash recently to be able to play in AM events. But that's just for MA1. So for a lot of the other events, it drops. A lot of the other divisions, it drops pretty aggressively. So you cannot be classified as a pro, which you are, and play MA40 unless you are below 920 rated. So are you hitting up Paul Arden to try to change your classification, or has this tournament shifted your mindset on where you might play next year?
I might just never leave MPO. I'm probably due a W. Nah, look, peer pressure, it's a wonderful thing. I think I'll do both of these things. I think I will hit up Paul Arden because it also costs me more to fucking register than PDGA. I'm just like bleeding money in every way, shape, or form. So I think I am going to hit up Paul Arden and go back to being AM status. But I think also if I play any events next year, I will sign up for MP40.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Yep. We'll see. We'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We watch it be like October and I'm signing up for my first event and I haven't touched plastic in 9 months.
No, I don't believe that either. cool. Any other thoughts on the Vic Open before we move on to some of the rating stuff?
Let's move on to the rating stuff.
Lovely. We'll have a look at our predictions first then. So we were predicting, like a 9:35, I think we said, for par.
Yes.
And day one even came out to be 9:30. We're feeling pretty chuffed about ourselves. That's pretty good. That's within half a stroke. You're not getting much better than that.
Correct.
And then day two, a little different story. it went 2 strokes the other way. And then I got reminded by somebody that we put out there on the socials, what would your neg 3 rate? And somebody came up with a number of a 9:35, I think.
Yes.
And I might have called that person a moron on the pod.
Yes.
I think that was I was like, whoever said that is a moron. Well,
yep.
Round two, neg three was 9:39, and that is pretty damn good. So I'll have to retract that statement. That was aimed directly at Zach. And sorry about that, buddy. You were right. We were right, and then you were right. And then the next day, we were sort of in the middle.
We were, yes.
But yeah, definitely, moron was strong.
It was strong.
And
was
inaccurate. Strong. So sorry about that. But yeah, then day three kind of shook out a bit more like day one, I think, right?
Yeah, 9:20-ish.
Yeah, a bit unders.
Yeah, four and even in the in the pro field and even in the AM field was actually just 9:10 on, I've got to look at a mine. It was 9:20. No, that's right. Day three, they rated the same, which we're about to get into. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How do you want to tackle? Should we we'll talk about what our predictions were for this and then what shook out or?
Well, so yeah, what we intimated was that TD should consider splitting the fields because of the volatility that exists within the chumps and the lack of volatility, the consistency that exists within the pros. And the trend that exists is that pros give up some rating points to the AMs in any said given event.
Yep, that sounds good.
I did then throw out a curveball after our chat last week that, however, I thought that Bendigo might too present itself as a bit of an exception to that rule. I thought length and length alone on a few of those holes where, many of MA1 and MPO are finding, birdies out there, like you described with Kalen, I just thought that the fact that some didn't even have access to those birdies in any way, shape, or form, that it could be a bit of a separator. that was one of my predictions, but we had to wait and see. Now, what I'll say before I get too into the weeds here is that I think my understanding is, Alan, that after a ratings update, some of these ratings might change. So in a week's time, the ratings that are currently existing on the PDGA website might change slightly in a week or so's time.
Maybe. Yeah, I can't imagine by much. It's not all official until it says official results, and we're still at unofficial results. But
yeah,
I can't imagine it. Like, it doesn't normally change much, I don't think.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe I'll point it to here. It's not going to be 10.
Yeah, cool. This is how I've summarized the event. I've looked at day one, day two, and day three. And then what I've done is I've mocked up what the ratings would have been if we were not separated. But first of all, I'll go through days one, day two, and day three. Alan, stop me, ask me any questions at any given point.
Sounds good.
All right. So the propagator average rating going into the event was at around 871.2. The average score of all of the players on that day was 65.8. So let's call that roughly 66. And because I've rounded that up, I will round down the rating a little bit to 871. So what that means is that if we were not separated as a pool, if you scored 66, you would have got a rating of 871.
Yep, sounds good.
We were separated. Pros took a rating of 872.
Mm-hmm.
So just slightly better than that 871. AMs with a 66 took a rating of 874. So even just that little bit more, slightly better than what the pros scored.
Okay, so better for both divisions. Better for both fields to be split.
Yes, better for both. Very. Let's go to day two.
And day one, the AMs and the pros both rated the same for the same score, essentially, right? Within a few strokes. I mean, within a few ratings points.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, exactly. So, a 66 in the pro field actually rated 872, a 66 for AMs rated 874. Yeah, so
negligible.
Yeah, negligible. Day two, obviously, we get propagators going with the same average. The average score on day two was a couple of strokes better, hence why the ratings shook out the way they did. So the average was 63.5. I rounded that up half a stroke to 64. Because I'm rounding that up half a stroke, I have to round down the ratings. I'm just checking myself before I fuck this to 867. And this is very interesting. 867. All right. So I round that down 4 or 5 points because I'm rounding it up half a stroke, right?
Yeah.
So 867 would have been a 64 if we were all together. We weren't. Pros taken 869. So just a couple of points better than that. And the AMs for a 64 actually took an 873. So that's actually up 7 points what we would have been all together.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. But 2 days in a row that the AMs are doing slightly better than the pros. 2 days in a row that that both full pools have done better than what we would have been all together.
Yeah. Interesting.
And then finally, day three's the biggest outlier, and I might just check my maths on that now that I know that I fucked up the other one. I'm rounding that down a stroke, so therefore I need to round this up a thing. Yep, that's where I went wrong. So I have to flip-flop my logic for day two and day three, but that's not a problem. So day three, the average score was 64.5. I round that down to 64. So therefore, I round up the average. Obviously, we went in with an average of 870. I'll round that up to 875. And so a 64 would have been an 875. The pros and the AMs both took 881s for a 64. So they're both up six on that.
Wow. Okay. So what I'm sort of gathering from that is that there's no real difference between the AM and the pro ratings day to day. So, like, if you scored, you know, if we had taken one from one pool and put them in the other, whatever they scored would essentially still be their rating again.
Yep.
Pretty negligible otherwise. And then if we had have all been as one pool, everyone's ratings would be slightly down, except for on day two, it seems like it would down a bit. So we gained a bit by splitting them for both pools. Do we have a theory on why, on how that even works?
No, but just to like, before I, just to drive that point home a little bit further, what I did was, because I knew, I hadn't shared this with you before, Alan, but because I was able to figure out what a score would have rated, I then used that to rate, gave everyone a mock rating for that day, as if we were at one entire pool. And I did that for day ones, two, and three. So before the event, the pros started with an average of 9.33. The AMs started with an average of 8.47. After the event, the pros climbed by an 1.3 rating points. They went to 934.6. The AMs climbed by 6 rating points.
Wow.
They climbed to 853. So the AMs definitely overall did better at the Vic Open. So I'd like to pat myself on the back for roughly saying that that would be the case. But with my mock rating system, if we had have all been together, the pros would have gone down by 2 rating points.
Wow.
From 933 to 931. And the AMs, they wouldn't have gone up by 6. They would have only gone up by like 1 and a bit. They would have gone up by 1 and a bit to 849.
Wow. All right. So that's wild. So that tracks with the trend that we've seen when we took the data from all the other tournaments and broke it down.
Yeah. And very, very rough maths. Happy to share it with, turns out there's a bunch of nerds listening, but I will just share the rough maths that I did. I took what I absolutely knew would be the average score. And then what I did, based on what actually happened at the Vic Open, it was crazy how much, you know how sometimes it's plus or minus 8, plus or minus 9, plus or minus 10? It was pretty close.
9.5s?
Yeah. It was pretty close to like 9.5 or 10 for each day. So I just used a blanket rule of 10.
Okay.
So if it was a 9.11 for a 62, I was like, cool, for 61, you get a 9.21.
Gotcha.
I just did plus or minus 2. So that was the rough math I did for each of the days. And yeah, that's how it shook out.
Yeah, wow. So I guess the conclusion is it probably is advantageous to split the pools then. It doesn't seem to be doing any harm because the ratings are coming out the same way, but just for whatever reason, the average, like the gains and losses in the end aren't taking anything away from like the higher divisions.
Correct. That's definitely one of the conclusions I make. The other one I make is that the rating system it's a pretty good algorithm. And if it's a big pool, like a big enough pool, like comparative to what we saw at Crater Lakes, again, we've just got another example of the results shaking out pretty even. And what was really nice about being at the Vic Open all day was, outside of day one, like day two and day three, like didn't matter if you teed off at 9 a.m. or if you teed off at 2 p.m.
Yeah.
You played in the same conditions.
Yeah. It was a good indicator.
It was a great indicator. Yeah.
Cool. Oh, well, yeah, that's not exactly how I thought that was going to shake out. So when we were looking at some of the early numbers, I thought this was going to be like the opposite of everything we said, but it's interesting that once you actually put it all together and then did the average ratings in and ratings out, then it does line up with every other tournament basically that we've seen.
Exactly.
You could assume then that if they were all split, then they would all be a little different. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's cool. I will stress that it was brought up in the chats, and then it sort of came to light a little bit during the rounds that there are also, I said it was super easy and takes nothing away from the tournament to make another layout and just assign it to different divisions. But there are some problems, I guess, when it comes to scoring. So if you end up with people that are playing on the same card that are on different layouts, it just means you can't score. Like if it was three of us doing one and one doing the other, then the, you know, the one on the other would only be able to score for themselves. They couldn't score for anyone else.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the only drawback. I don't really know how that works with the system of everyone needs a score or whatever. That could be a problem. And I think it's more tedious to make the tee times as well. Because you have to sort of make the tee times of one and then make the other. So it isn't the just nothing that I said, but it also isn't that much. So that's interesting. I would like to see more of that. We'll have to have a look and see if there's any more TDs trying stuff like that and seeing what the outcomes are. But I guess from our small sample size and then, you know, indicating it on the stuff that we've seen, it does seem like it is overall a net positive.
Absolutely. And like I had a good chat with Patty before we teed off on the final day. And it was like, you know, we had a wondering, like, does it hurt anyone? And like this sample kind of maybe makes an argument to say, no one gets scarred in this approach. So it might be worth looking at. I just want to call out one of our contributors online. I can't remember who it was, but I did notice in either on the Facebook or Instagram, someone was with a little bit of backwards and forwards, but hadn't listened to the episode. If they could just politely fuck off, that'd be great. Like, listen to the episode. Like, yeah. How are you bringing an argument to the table if you haven't heard what we said?
That's good. I love that. That's good.
Yeah.
See Darren's comment?
No.
There was a bunch of people saying, you know, chiming in about this, asking about that. Darren was just like, boring. Took the time out of his day to write boring.
That's good.
Jeez, Jazz.
No, I expected more of that. I couldn't believe how many people
were
eating this up.
People
loved it.
Paul Arden listened to our pod.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure for the first time ever. So,
yeah.
That was pretty cool. So, no, I love that. That was cool. I'm sure we won't go too much in depth about other stuff, but we'll definitely track it. And if you're TD out there and you're thinking of doing it, you want some more info, just hit us up. We'll hit Chris up. He's got most of it. That'd be cool. We'll keep an eye on that. But it looks like overall good thing. So I like it.
Cool.
All right, long pod, so we won't go too much into the Aussie Masters this. Before we do that, I had to check in on your Throllers Guarantee. So we were in the NPO field for the Vic Open, and Timmy B, who was, you know, one of the higher rated guys and a bit of a winner, was a pretty good chance for a podium for mine. I think, what did I give you? 6 for a podium and 4 for a not podium. And correct. You went with the not podium, and day one he obliged with an even and took himself mostly out of the picture.
Just he certainly did.
Cool 9 strokes back of the leader. did a bit more work on day 2 and 3, but mostly just aligned with what the rest of the NPO field was doing and found himself tied with you. Which, did you podium?
No. I did not podium, no.
Okay, well then, that gives you 4 points and brings you also up to 37. So we are tied at 37, and first to 50, so it's getting pretty, it could be a couple wins away here.
Yeah.
So very cool. The Aussie Masters on this weekend, they have 100 players on the dot registered, which is pretty sick. The projected payouts are fat as well. MP40 win is going to take home a cool $515. Some $250 out there for MP50 as well. $190 for MP70. So lots of cash to be made out there. Looks like some great prizes available too for all the other divisions. MA40 paying out to 9th place in prizes. MA50 out to 8th. All the payouts there are on the PDJ website, and as you'd expect from a Jeff Brunsing event, if you show up, you're probably going to get something when you go home. So really cool to see. I think they're going to do like an MP50 feature card or something, or MP70 or something cool. Are they going to do something like that, which Parked will film, I think, So that'll be really cool. Is Park filming? Maybe I made that up.
I don't know.
Alex wanted us to mention they're doing a State of Origin on the Friday at Mount Xavier, which sounds pretty cool if you ask me. They're splitting into 7 teams, Victoria, New South Wales, Queensland, WA, South Australia, rest of Australia, and then rest of the world. And he sent a bit of a tentative list, and I don't know how some people have fallen into some of those categories, but that's but that's fine. I think they're just trying to make it even. And they're doing like a group match play thing, going to be putting in people in groups of fours from different states, and then if you win the hole, you beat everyone, you get 3 points. If you beat one person, you know, whoever does it gets one. Seems like a good system. He's going to try to find a way to do it on metrics as well, so we'll be able to track that, which sounds like a bit of fun. And the old man has told me that they've also been given permission to stay back at the Mount Xavier clubs for a while after that. The bar will be open, and I'll be coming straight after work. There'll be a bit of cornhole going on, a bit of poker. So I think it's going to be a very fun social night and day on the Friday, which would be really cool before everything kicks off on the Saturday.
Awesome.
And then, yeah, it's going to be one round at Vic Park on Saturday, one round on Sunday at Mount Xavier, and there's going to be a whole bunch of brand new Masters champions. So first event of this happening, 100 people, I think that's a great setup. Right the weekend after the Vic Open too. Some big names like Chris Finn coming over for this. Didn't come over for the Vic Open. Same with Simon Feasey. Tunji. A lot of big names. Daz is making his appearance here. Couldn't make the last one. And Chris Scott has taken his first foray, I'm pretty sure, into MP40, which is awesome after that big win. So mixing up with them. Timmy Ware's in there as well. The MP40 division is going to be hot. Who do you like in that
one? So hot. Oh, well, yeah, I like them all. It's tough, isn't it? It's hard to go past Simon Feasey, but at the same time, I can go past him. Like, how is he still 999 rated? That is
He's so good. He plays all the time too, so it's legit.
Yeah, of course it is. So he's like four strokes better than every one of these players. So he could win in a canter, but you've got Daz playing on his home soil and in some form. You got Chris Scott in form. You got Tim Ware in form. I don't see Chris Finn getting anywhere near it. I for me, it's a Simon Feasey, Darren Stay Smith, 1-2. What order? I'd love to say the Australian-Adian gets it done, but it looks like it's Simon's.
Yeah. He's gonna be tough to beat, I think. So especially get down to Xavier, and he's just gonna be able to throw a tackapoo on every hole or something like that. It's gonna be tough, but I'm keen for it. That'd be a good one to watch. A lot of big names in MP50 as well. We're running pretty late, so just scroll through divisions and see if there's anything that jumps out of here. MA40 for sure is massive. 29 people playing. I don't know. That one's been nice. Glenn Maisie in there. It's gonna be
Claire
good.
Hussey in there.
Yeah, Haas would be big. Taron. These are all gonna be good. Paul Arden's there. My name's not. So by the way, I've had multiple people ask me, "Am I playing this weekend?" I'm 35. I mean, give me a break. Not just one, you know, like a few people. You playing Masters weekend? No. I'm just a baby. But yeah, a lot of names that don't normally play MA40 that might play in the other MAs have stepped up to do it. So I think this is sick. I can't wait to the 20. I couldn't pick a winner out of a 29 person field. So good luck with that. What else we got?
25 in MA50.
Big. Jesus.
Big.
That's huge.
Josh Conroy finds himself in there. Isn't he the guy that just took it down to Carey at Vic Open?
Yeah, I think it might have been.
So surely he just runs away with it. Let me just go and check. MA50 was indeed Josh Conroy, yeah. So I feel like it. A cranny's in there as well, though, and Mike Vandalin, and that's a hot one as well.
Yeah. No, this is cool. Yeah. This is cool. A lot of big names. Going to be great to see. James Arnold coming over from South Australia. A lot of people traveling. Way more people traveled over for this than the Vic Open. Like, not even close.
Yeah.
it's like a 40% interstate field, so it's crazy. Yeah, MA 55, so that's where we find Carey. He's pushed himself up into that. There's MA 60s. Jeff finds himself in that division. Eight people in that. I think he's a red hot dip into that. But the older Wisniewski and Michael Cansey, they're going to be hard to beat. All the way into MA 65. Terry Bohan somehow finds his way in that. No way, Tezza. He's too young for that, surely.
Yeah, surely.
Surely. Yeah. Even Gale in FA 70 has competition. So, yeah, absolutely incredible. 100 people. It's going to be great. And keep an eye out.
Pumped.
Should we do some dollars guarantee?
While we're on this page, it's hard to look at. It's hard to look at the sign-ups for Stoney and to find much of a guarantee in there. So I will definitely be using this. You got something?
Not yet. Do you? Obviously not. All
right. Yeah, I've got some questions.
Okay.
What will you give me for Josh Smith?
Mm-hmm.
To come last in MP40.
I mean, a one?
A one. I'm so tempted to take the nine.
Not last.
No. Just got to beat one of these people.
Yeah. We'll see. If you're going to go with it, I might adjust. If you're going to go the other way, I might adjust. Tunji's been playing. He's not beating Chris Scott, Dazza, Finn, Feezy, or Timmy Ware. So it's can he beat Tunji? I just don't think he will.
Could one of these old blokes DNF? That's my thinking.
Oh, well, yeah. Exactly. You're a lot more likely on that. I reckon it's Tui beats no one. Eight, he beats anyone.
Okay. All right. What about Darren Stay Smith to podium?
Daz at a podium. I think that's a should do. He'll do well day one at Vic Park and then should hold off in day two. So I think more likely to than not. So that means that he is a four podium, six not.
Four podium, six not.
And that's where I'm at.
Okay. I'm not happy with either of those.
That's fine.
You got anything yet?
Yeah. Let's have a look. We've got two people on identical ratings. We've got our friend Anthony Majan and Lee Thompson, both 881 rated. What's the head-to-head on that?
What division are they in?
MA40.
And they are 9-8. What are they rated?
881.
Yeah, Lee Thompson, Anthony Majan, head to head. Yeah. We have to go with Lee as a 3 and Majan as a 7.
Oh, done. Give me Tony.
Tony.
Give me Tony.
Tony.
Give me Tony. Big. I like okay. that. That's more. Well, I thought you were going to give close to that. So I'm taking the value. I think he's better than a 7. So I can't not take the 7.
All right. Give me Darren Stay Smith to win.
That's tough. That's tough. That's a probably not. I think it's similar likelihood to the Josh Smith setup. I give you a 8. Win, 2 doesn't win.
You're really fucking me with these numbers. All right, I'll take the. You're happy to give me Josh So what did you end up giving me for Josh not last?
Two, he comes last. Eight, he beats someone.
I'll take the eight.
All right, and no DNFs.
Oh, and no DNFs.
Like, yeah, he's going to beat someone.
He's got to beat Twinji or Tim. That's so fucking hard. he's got to beat Twinji. Come on. Surely he can beat Twinji. Come on. I'm sending it. Come on.
Josh Smith not last.
For an eight. Big. That would be so big.
He'd be fucking very big. Especially if I don't pull this seven. That would that puts you at 45. Oofed. All right.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Let's finish it with some spotlight, not light.
Yes, please.
And I'll go. Oh, we were just going to talk about Dave, weren't we? So,
yes.
We'll just do that. I've got other spotlights. So, what's our man Dave Perry doing this weekend? This is a combined spotlight from the two of us.
Yeah, Champions Cup this weekend in the States. West Coast Swing. Are they in California? Where are they?
No idea.
They are.
Oh, yeah, they're in California.
Stockton, California. He's put up a couple of posts up in his socials. Looks like he played a warm-up round with Ben Calloway. His first card has been announced. Funnily, Mikey Hare's just messaged me saying, definitely check out his first card. He gets to play with none other than Linus Karlsson, obviously Jet, from Borås, Sweden. He also gets to play with James Proctor, the Doctor. Sick. And then he also gets to play with none other than Ezra Aderholt.
Sick.
As well. So cool first card for Dave Perry. It's teeing off at 2:30 PM. He's a very late card.
That's good.
Like the big dogs tee off at 3:30. So I wonder if he's half a chance, especially with Ezra Aderholt on his card, he might get a bit of live coverage action.
That'd be cool.
So he's a little early, but if he goes hot or does something interesting or hits an ace or whatever, cameras are out on the track at that time. So we could see a bit of Dave Perry on live footage.
Love that. Love that. What else did you spy that he signed up for?
He signed up for Worlds.
Where did that come from?
Yeah, no idea. He's obviously done a bit of GoFundMe selling this and didn't promote them. But without promoting them, he must have sold a million of them because – as we know, Worlds this year is indeed in Europe. So, yeah, he's also in July heading over to Finland. So that is sick.
Awesome. So Friday, yep. I think it starts, Champions Cup, or is it even earlier? Is it because of four rounds or not?
No, it has to be. It's a major.
Yeah. So four, starting
four round champ-
Thursday our then? Our Friday.
Our Friday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because, Friday to Monday. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll have to check in on that for sure, see how our boy's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go with my spotlight for the weekend. Besides all the work that people did for the Vic Open and just it being a jet of a thing, my spotlight has to go to Nath Parrish, and it's because of a bit of a not light. He was using the stats for the first time ever on the PDGA and made a bit of a boo-boo on hole 18, and it was raining and sort of just wasn't paying too much attention. So he was meant to get a six because he unfortunately threw it out of bounds off the tee. The way he inputted the scoring, he thought that, when you click out of bounds, where is it? Fairway. He kind of thought that meant that was your next shot went on the fairway. And then when he looked at it and they said, what'd you get? He goes, oh, it says five. So he put a five down. And once he realized his error, he brought it up to the TD in the morning and his score got changed to a six. And he took a plus two penalty for stuffing up his scores. So spotlight is not for him messing up. It's for him coming out and just saying, hey, I messed up. Here's what I did. Please rectify it. So he ended up going from an even to a plus three and then shot a neg 10 that day, 1,000 rated round. I think maybe his first one ever. So huge karma coming his way for being a good guy, and I wouldn't expect anything less than Nate. So yeah, big spotlight for just owning up.
Well done.
And good spirits about it too. He was just like, yeah, I messed up. Here's my story. Bang. Wasn't sulky or sad or anything. So,
yeah, huge. And like, if he hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have beaten him. So it's massive. thanks, Parrish. And what I mean by that is, like, if he had just scored it correctly, I wouldn't have beaten him.
Yeah.
His two-stroke penalty definitely got me over the line. So I'm very grateful for that. I had it in there as a honorable mention. I didn't think I would ever beat Nathan Parrish again. He has got very good at disc golf.
Yeah.
So it was nice to get that one. And I'm sure it'll be my last time ever. So thank you again. My spotlight this week actually goes to Reinhardt. We alluded to the fact that he did not take stats round three, unfortunately, but he did take stats round one. And round two, when I I do mean round one.
Yeah, round one you play with him.
Yeah, round one I played with him, and he missed none other than 16 putts, 8 of which were in circle one. And of those 8 that were in circle one, they would have all been inside 8 meters. And then the 8 that he missed from circle two were, at least 6 of them were like inside like 14 meters. And I don't even have to say that because we're talking about Reinhardt. Like if he's in circle two, like that's a putt. It's a genuine putt.
Yeah.
Like where if I'm at 18 meters, I'm throwing a pig flick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but like Reinhardt is actually trying to hit those putts. And yeah, he's, I have to believe that like he's rocking up to win. Like he wants to win the Vic Open, and we're playing round one and he can't hit a single putt. And I just think for just about anyone else, inclusive of me in the MPO field, anyone else that has the mindset of like, I'm actually want to play well or win this event, that would just be so demoralizing. And like, you could just be such a sad sack during it. But I was just so impressed with like his mental fortitude and like, just his like attitude and charisma and everything. And his, like, I guess his maturity, during that round, it would have been so easy to just be a sad sack and be like, so like angry on the green because of the disgusting putts he was missing. But he was so chill about it and so level headed about it. And, I was really, really impressed. And like we all gave him stick on hole 18. He sunk a 6 meter putt on hole 16. The whole card went wild for a six meter putt. And I like, it was just like, we could only do that because of the way he carried himself the whole round. Like, yeah, kudos to Reinhardt. He is a jet.
Yeah. Sick. No, that's cool. Yeah. I love that. And, the 10-26 final round, we need to find a way to check in to see what the highest rated round by an Australian is so far this year, because that could be it. 10-26 is pretty fucking good. And we were going to try to keep an eye on that because of Jace's nice prediction that Reinhardt would probably have the highest rated round of the year. Mm. So we might have to look into that for next pod.
Yeah, good call, good call.
Not lights. What did I have? I didn't have anything. I just had something come up in my mind. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Nothing in particular. But, oh, no, it did. 100% I got one in particular. So my honorable mention is Dylan Feldman. And it's not that he played shit. It's not that he came last. My not light is that this is the worst disc golf he's played since he was 12. And he beat me by one. And I was pretty happy. You pointed out that if he just played a little worse, I could have had a very nice meme about the MA4 boy taking him down. But he tried as hard as he could to be real shit, and I couldn't get him. So that's a not like for Dill pissed me off. Oh, an honorable mention for Dill for pissing me off. And my actual not like goes to some moron drove a truck into something at Vic Park. What's Ballarat. The union, Fed Union Ballarat, and stuffed it up. Apparently not as bad as it got stuffed up. It happened last weekend, and there was like a big marathon or something in town. There was like 1,000 people at the marathon, 100 people staying at Fed Living, and all of their accommodation got cancelled, and there was nowhere else to stay because the other 900 people were in Ballarat staying. So, but yeah, it's carried on. There's no sewer, no power, a bunch of stuff. So they've had to cancel all the accommodation for everyone staying there for the Masters as well. So, big not lie to that dickhead, and well done to Jeff and Anthony for working around and figuring out a way to not only get everyone accommodated, but also to keep the social events alive. But yeah, big not lie to that dickhead.
Yeah, well spotted. Mine has to go to Tim Bowen. Just essentially like the opposite of like the Reinhardt situation.
Oh, okay.
Just was like just a bit of a buzzkill.
Yeah.
Day one, and yeah, it's just a bit draining. Like, when someone's just a bit hard on themselves, and it does infiltrate a little bit. It could have so easily been a virus if Reinhardt decides to get down on himself as well. It could have been a really rough day. But thankfully, yeah, like I said, Ryan remained up and about, and it didn't infiltrate too bad. But Tim Bowen was a bit of a buzzkill, considering that he literally missed half the amount of putts that yeah. that Reinhardt missed, literally half. And he was like so much more down on himself. My not light has to go to Tim Bowen.
Nah, that's fair. I hope you let him know that you bet against him and that the whole guarantee. That would have been the cherry on the top. Just be like, thanks, mate. That throw's guarantee achieved.
I did not. They have to listen. I told him and Paddy, they have to listen.
He used to early, but
yeah.
Probably too. We do them too frequently for them, I think.
Yeah, we do. We really, and it doesn't help that we're rolling out a 2-hour
episode. I know, this tonight. One's big. I don't know. No, maybe no one listens to this one. This would be bad. All right, cool. So yeah, everyone, get around the shirts if you don't remember from the start. hit up me and Chris for the information on all that stuff, and I think that'd be all right. We keep it to ourselves for the first couple of days, and then before we put out the socials.
Yeah, no, I love that idea.
Sweet.
Give it a few days, and then they get to cash in on the early numbers. Our passionate listeners get the early numbers.
Lovely. Yeah. All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.